States. It was 126 days ago today that Joe Biden said, quote, I've done all I can do. He was asked about why he wouldn't use his extensive executive authority to address the border catastrophe that he himself created. And 126 days ago, he looked into the cameras and said, I'm out of options. I've done all I can do. He tried to convince us all for all this time that there was no way he could possibly fix the mess. Remember that he engineered it. When Congressman Ciscomani said a few moments ago, he began this on the day he took office over 3.5 years ago. He walked into the Oval Office and he started issuing executive orders, dozens of them. We counted 64 specific executive actions that President Biden and Secretary Mayorkas took to open that border wide. They did it intentionally. They engineered the open border. There's no question about it. The evidence is so clear.
So this is the Speaker of the House. And of course, they got a lot going on today. You got the Merrick Garland stuff. You got the Hunter Biden stuff. You got Joe Biden, dead, Hunter's dad. He's all of a sudden he's decided that he can do something about the border. And the reason that he's decided that he can do something about the border is because there were like thousands of people crossing illegally a day. And he was kind of freaking out because it's hurting him. So he's doing some executive actions about that. So we're going to get into all of that and more. Welcome to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. Always good. We're at the top of this first hour here. And I tried to retweet because a lot of people will tune in. I'd say that we're streaming on X, but I don't know what the hell's happening because I'm apparently not able to post on X for some reason. I don't know because I don't have anything nice to say that's FCC compliant. So do you want to keep pushing me on this issue? Because
banned?
It's going to get real, real, real quick.
Were you banned?
I'm not banned. Nothing. The only thing that's new is the stuff that I put there last night. Like none of my retweets are going through. Nothing's actually going through. So I don't.
All right, I'm gonna check this out.
I don't really know what's happening. I can't see anything, and it doesn't show up in different browsers. And I've been jacked around so long. I've had over 1 million followers deleted. I don't even know anymore. It's like sometimes I wake up and I'm like, what the F is the point of even getting on social media at this point? Because it's run by a bunch of hippie fascists. It's run by a bunch of people who didn't accomplish anything other than their life, anything in their lives except for be a zealot, a political zealot. And then they go, and you can't see anything either, can you?
No.
Yeah, none of my stuff
Nothing,
is posted.
As of last night was all there is.
Yeah, so I'm not able to post. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But it actually then becomes a professional issue because that's we stream on the show. We stream the show on X and... I like share a lot of stuff on X. So that's it. I don't know. We'll see. I'm about ready to leave the platform. I'm literally about ready to delete all of my social media accounts. I am a heartbeat away. I am so done. I am so done with it because they're all garbage. Every one of them. There is not one that has a redeeming value and X needs to get its stuff together. I'm not going to sit here and pay. I like Musk a lot. But I think he needs to just gut the whole damn thing. People may have to go without it for a while because it's such a mess. And this is the stuff we're talking about. I mean, maybe it doesn't affect you immediately, but it affects what you see. It affects the stuff that you see. It affects how you get your information. It affects also what is amplified and what isn't amplified. But because a lot of the stuff that ends up coming up on social media is what breaks everything now. And then you have the networks that break everything later. We talked about this a little bit yesterday, but I'm done. I am so done in fighting that battle. Honestly. I mean, I've been doing this since 2006. Actually, I was like a year into Twitter launching. I opened an account on Twitter because I started in the blogosphere. I was a newspaper columnist and I started in the blogosphere. And I'm just so done with it already. I'm curious as to what you guys think, because I'm literally about to delete my account. I'm done. I'm done dealing with it. I'm not going to sit here and pay money to get throttled and deal with this BS. I'm done. So I don't know. Maybe there will be an account later today. Maybe there won't be, because I'm about ready to delete all of it. So we'll see. That's going to be really nice for our social media team. It may not be there, guys. I'm done. I can only do so much, and I got a bandwidth of GAFs Okay.
But the memes, though.
You know what? I love the memes, but I'm about done. I'm just about done with it all. Seriously. It's just, it's really frustrating. And I'm just, every damn day, it's something different. Every damn day. So let's get to some of this other stuff in this hellscape that we call a free republic, right? Or that we pretend is still a free republic. We're in that mood today. I'm just wanting to let you know. So Hunter Biden, the privileged son of the president, he started his trial today. I just think it's embarrassing that you have the First Lady of the United States who is walking into the courtroom on a gun trial with her stepson because he's a drug user. Right? I mean, walking in behind him, it's just embarrassing to see this because he's on trial for being a drug user and purchasing a gun. I want the whole book thrown at him. I want the maximum penalty. No. I'm done with it. I want to see him in shackles. I want him perp walk into the pokey. That's what I want to see happen. So I want to see that happen. I want him perp walked. I want the whole entire book thrown at him. I don't want any of these Republicans to show any mercy or suffer any fools. Let the fire of the burning, flaming bridges light the path going forward. I want full-on, complete destruction. Dracarys, go. That's what I want. So you have Dr. Gill, who walks in with him. At least she didn't walk in her best Dolce & Gabbana floral sofa print. Walked into the courthouse with him. And then also his half-sister, also a drug addict, Ashley, walked in. That whole family's a mess. They don't even care about the optics. Just think of this. You got Jill Biden walking into a courtroom where Hunter Biden is being charged with lying on a 4473. Your basic average rando American backside would have been thrown in a jail cell already. But see, he won the DNA lottery. He was born of a grifter family, right? A white trash. Sorry, white trash. That's an insult to white trash. What's under that? We got to come up with something. He was born into this very privileged family, a grifter family, and that so he gets all of the benefits of that. So he has this, he's got like this Teflon aesthetic to him. Nothing sticks. So he's there. Then you go to Ashley Biden, who is in the news because also a drug addict, and she abandoned her diary. It was months and months and months. Abandoned her diary at a flop house. It was a friend's house that she used to flop in. And I was actually talking to some people who were in the know about this. It was down in Florida. And she stayed at this friend's house. This flop house, left some of her stuff, including her diary, for months and months and months. Then only when the excerpts of it come out and embarrass her and her family does she claim that it's stolen. Now, everyone else, they'd be like, girl, you left this for seven. This was 7 months ago. This diary, you left this diary go over almost going on a year. Is it over 7 months? You left this diary forever ago. So, you know, maybe you shouldn't be a drug using promiscuous person. And you should keep track of your belongings like a normal functioning human. And so then that's when she filed suit, blah, 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 all this other stuff. Their whole family's a mess. And to see Jill Biden walk in like she's doing her duty as some proud mother hen, you're not a good mother. Your kids are a mess. Your daughter that you had with your husband's a mess. Your stepkids are a mess. You're horrible parents. Clearly, you don't believe in cause and effect. You don't believe in consequences. And it's just embarrassing. For all the stuff that they sit here and say about Trump, you never have ever seen any of the Trump kids have this issue, have you? Never. Even Don Jr. that got a divorce. It was a very classy divorce. I mean, I wish, you know, it's sad. I wish they wouldn't have. I don't like to see a marriage with kids fall apart. But it was classy. You know what I mean? Like there was no mudslinging. There was no somebody got drunk or high and threw a gun in a trash can. There was none of that stuff, right? There were no naked pictures where your flabby, you know, overhang is over your undercarriage and you're holding a gun with your finger on the trigger taking selfies. I mean, there was none of that stuff that came up, right? There's no pictures of you sleeping with your crack pipe. None of that stuff came up. You never had anything like that with those kids. So I don't even want to hear all the left talk trash. You guys have the worst, sluttiest, trashiest politicians that you could possibly have. You got a guy that got a BJ in the Oval Office, right? You got another guy that was fleecing this old lady, Bunny Mellon, down in the Carolinas so that he could sit here and pay for his out-of-wedlock baby mama. You had that to deal with. You got the Bidens to deal with. I mean, where do we stop? Where do we stop? Let's look at the hot mess that you guys call leaders. I don't want to hear another damn thing about Trump. Oh my gosh. clean up your own house. Jiminy. It's like a Jerry Springer episode. Just call it the Jerry Springer party. Good night. Anyway, I got that out of my system for now. For now. Now, that being said, there's a piece up. Lorraine's got a really good piece up over at Substack. Meet the Jury. Now, this is interesting because I go back and forth. It's immediately determined in favor of the Bidens. Where it is, where the trial's taking place, where the jury is being selected from, it's immediately in favor of the Bidens, right? So it's not like, I don't know if they're going to get what they want to get the prosecution out of this. But Lorraine has a piece up. I tweeted it out, but I'm not sure if it's, again, it's been all weird over there. It's up against Substack, chapter and verse. And there are some gun owners that are members of the jury. So you have the jury, you've got the alternates, as Lorraine notes in here. So you have, juror number three watches CBS Evening News every night. It's her only regular source of news. Kane rolled his eye. You might want to pick your eyeballs up on the floor. You roll them out of your head. Are you all right over there?
I'll make it.
That is the most exaggerated eye roll I've ever seen in the history of eye rolls. She has a sister who struggled with drugs, but's currently clean. See, they ask you all these questions, as you know, when you sit for a jury. I would have never made this jury. Juror number five used to work for Secret Service in D.C. That could go either way, as did her husband. Because there's six men, six women. Juror 16 gets her news from YouTube. She said her mom owns a gun, but she has no experience. So she's ambivalent. Juror number 19 thinks people who smoke pot should be allowed to own guns. So she's a libertarian. She's going to side with Hunter Biden on that aspect of the defense. But she's also probably big gun rights. This is weird, isn't it? Isn't it weird? This is where they're coming into. Juror number 26, this is a progressive's worst nightmare. It's a middle-aged black man. They love jailing black Second Amendment supporters like Dexter Taylor. I mean, all of a sudden that, you know, they just get all Jim Crow about everything. He says that he's got a concealed carry permit in Delaware and Florida. He thinks Second Amendment is important. There's a younger male whose father owns some guns. So juror number 33, this is the one that's going to be interesting. He lost his dad to a quote-unquote gun crime. He's got a brother who was arrested for possession. It served a year in jail. So this is it. There's a woman who owns a gun. So there's some gun owners in this case. Then there's a guy who has a brother. He has a history of drug abuse. His family has drug abuse history, PCP, heroin, because that's all going to come into play. Then they got the alternates. This is it's going to be interesting. But still, remember, Democrats from like D.C. and Delaware and all that area, Republicans or gun owners from that area are a little different. Then, like, say gun owners are Republicans from, like, Texas or Florida or the Carolinas. So, you know, you can't tell. We're going to get into all of that. We're also going to be following. Joe Biden's going to be signing this executive order that he wasn't able to sign because he couldn't do anything about the border until all of a sudden it looked bad for him in the polls. We're going to cover all of that so you don't want to miss. We got a lot to hit today as we move. So there's a company that I just started using called Ammo Squared, and Ammo Squared helps you stay stocked up on ammunition, like automatically. It's a truly automated system. You set it and you forget it. It's an ammo purchasing program, and you can pick whatever caliber you want. You can set your budget. You can select your shipping, and that's it. And the cool thing is that it builds up, your ammunition builds up over time, and it's stored in this climate-controlled warehouse, and it sends it automatically when you want it, when you have it selected to send. And ammunition is a hard asset. I mean, it's something that's tangible. I think we all remember the uncertainty, like back in 2019, 2020, when there were certain calibers that were kind of hard to find. And we were calling some of our retail friends and saying, when do you get a shipment of this? Can we get some? Can we lay claim to some when it comes in? And in times of uncertainty and inflation, the value of all this stuff only goes up. So Ammo Squared is there to help smooth out the rough spots of ammunition availability. It's like an ammo 401k or something like that. You set it up, You have ammo for that rainy day when store shelves are empty and ammo's hard to find. So you can learn more and you can sign up today at AmmoSquared.com and ensure that you're prepared for whatever may come your way. That's AmmoSquared.com.
The Democrats are counting on your economic ignorance so they can get reelected. The left wants you to think that oil companies and grocery stores are ripping Americans off. Meanwhile, they just want to get back into office to keep printing trillions of more dollars. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this is interesting because I read a whole deep dive about this last night about why cancer is increasing in younger people. And it's actually because they're eating too much sugar and not enough fiber. It has been a trend. I will say it was a trend before the pandemic and the vaccines, the injections. I'm not saying that word. Just like I don't say Palestine because that's not a word that exists either.
But it sure has shot up since the vax.
Yeah, I know. The turbo stuff. I'm sure it's not the injections. Anyway, the Telegraph is saying obesity is being blamed for the disturbing rises in cancer amongst younger people. Obesity is just another side effect of it. That's not the big issue. The issue is people are not consuming enough fiber and enough vegetables. Also, they're kind of sedentary. They need to get up and move a little bit more. I mean, seriously, when we were over in Italy, I literally ate pasta 3 times a day and I had gelato 2x a day, but I walked like 10 miles everywhere. That's why they don't gain weight, because you got to walk everywhere. I'm just saying, maybe like that could be a little bit more applicable here. Just, you know, suggesting it. But it's the sugar and lack of fiber. No one's eating fiber. That's crazy to think that it's just something that could be potentially that simple. More than 10,000, oh my gosh, 10,000 human remains uncovered on a suspected serial killer's farm. This is in Tampa, Florida. This was a serial killer. They've been working for decades to try to identify the victims of the suspected serial killer. It was discovered at Fox Hollow Farm, the home of Herb Baumeister, 1996. They identified a guy who disappeared in August of 93. They still have 10,000 charred human remains, and they've only identified 3 victims so far. That's wild. Goodness. Louisiana lawmakers approved a bill allowing for the surgical castration for child molesters, and bravo, Louisiana lawmakers. Bravo. I think they should be put to death, preferably. I think that they should be immediately killed following the trial. They should just immediately have a rope put around their neck, dragged out to the back, and shot by firing squad. I got so much more time. People are like, a solar project is destroying thousands of Joshua trees out in Joshua Tree State Park, you know, for the environment. Stick with us. Are you willing to jeopardize your life savings by not preparing and not acting now? I mean, there are a lot of people who are diversifying their savings and their retirement with precious metals like gold and silver. I'm one of them. Do it before it's too late. They got a free 2024 wealth protection guide that arms you with everything that you would ever want to know about how precious metals can help you in the face of inflation, national debt, instability, all of it. And you could possibly be eligible for an up to 10% instant match in bonus silver while supplies last. So don't sleep on it. Now, Gold Co., they've got thousands of 5-star reviews, a perfect rating from the Better Business Bureau. And precious metals ownership, they understand it's a very important part of your overall retirement and savings. And they want to help you get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. So visit danalikesgold.com, get your free gold kit from Gold Co., and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver and get your complimentary wealth protection kit. Visit danalikesgold.com.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
There's a difference between the viruses that were funded by the NIH sub-award versus anything else anybody else in China might be doing.
Excellent.
You
were talking about what you funded.
What we funded, and
all right.
That's the point.
And that goes to my next question, because I thought you might go there, and I appreciate that.
Right.
Because in an off-the-record member-level briefing in February of 2022, I asked about the likelihood and nature of a SARS-related coronavirus to have a furin cleavage site, particularly since it takes the 12 nucleotide change in there to make it as viral as this was going on. And at the time, you said to me pretty much what you just said, and I want you to just confirm it for the record. Well, that wasn't us. If that was being done, it wasn't us. Yeah. And you confirmed that for the record, yes?
No,
it wasn't you. It wasn't what you were funding.
What I'm saying is that I cannot account, nor can anyone account, for other things that might be going on in China, which is the reason why I have always said and will say now, I keep an open mind as to what the origin is.
Yeah. Well, we know what it was. Like, why are we sitting here playing this game? That was Dr. Anthony Fauci. Welcome back to the program. By the way, related to this, did you guys see the image that I shared with you? If you're a subscriber over at Substack, Chapter and Verse, one of my favorite things to do is find images to lead the headlines with every morning. There was a lady who was in the, she was in the room in the chamber yesterday when they were doing this hearing, and she had a Jail Fauci Now shirt on, and that apparently it made him mad. That made him mad, and then there was a dude who sat behind him. I don't know if y'all saw this, this dude that sat behind Fauci, who was like a mime. And he was mocking him and rolling his eyes and talking back like under his breath and all of this stuff. And that ticked him off so bad. Is that what that's what he's responding to in Audio Soundbite 5, right? Yeah. He's mad.
Yeah, he's mad. Well, over the death threats, you mean that?
Well, he's like, what's a January 6th defendant doing here? Is what he was saying.
Oh, Lord.
And it's like, well, if you're going to sit here and ask questions about what people are doing where, I mean, I got more for you. But the lady, wasn't this an old lady or is that an old man? I think that's an old lady. She doesn't have an apple. And remember, if they got an apple, they got a banana, kids. Right? That's the lesson. That's the lesson for the day. Have a great day.
It's an elder. An elder.
I mean, and she's got a Jail Fauci shirt on. He did, and right sitting right down from him. That was the lead image for headlines today for Substack for my newsletter. She's wearing this. It's so perfect. It's so perfect.
See, what the government hates is that both sides of the political aisle can find some unification in understanding what Fauci did to the country.
Yeah.
And at least his contribution to it based on his expertise. At least can unify.
Science came.
We could totally unify over this. The government does not want that.
No, they don't want this at all. It's so bad, that's why they don't want it at all. Not at all. I loved that image, though. Loved that image. So his ongoing, like he threw the CDC under the bus. He admitted that all of this stuff didn't have any kind of science to back it. They just made up the social distancing. Does anybody else, when you go into a store and you still see the little feet stickers on the floor where you're supposed to stand because you're apparently too stupid to figure out, you know, how to not get up in someone's space? I never pay attention to those. Ever. Never. I didn't even at the time. And I just, when I'm told to do something, you guys feel this too. I know you do, because that's why you listen to the show and watch the simulcast that you can watch on Channel 347 or Rumble or YouTube or Facebook or wherever. But whenever someone tells you that you got to do something, you don't want to do it, right? Because that's the American DNA in you. I don't care if you were born somewhere else and you came here and became a citizen. I don't care. That's your American DNA that's speaking to you. And there's something satisfyingly unifying about that I really enjoy. But this guy was sitting there, and I was still going through some of the hearing yesterday, last night. And I wanted to touch on Audio Soundbite 4 because he's trying to defend the association with Wuhan. I want to real quickly flash back real fast because remember when you had those, it was like a... it was like a diplomatic group, Kane. Remember, it was some of our scientists and researchers and then some scientists and researchers from elsewhere. And they went to the Wuhan Institute because if you remember at the time, the Wuhan Institute was lauded as being, it's just it's the state of the art leading viral research facilities in the world, super safe, super secure, meticulously clean. I mean, they bragged and bragged and bragged on it. And so we had like this consortium of researchers and scientists that went. And apparently that's when, if you think back when there were those secret cables that were sent to the State Department, where you had some of the members of this group that were there touring the facility in Wuhan. Go back to remember the original reports, and these cables were released. They were surreptitiously taken and released later. But it emerged that they were actually warning the State Department, this is bad. Something's going to happen here. This is bad. And these cables first came to light, I want to say in March, after everything started shutting down. And then the story went away and you never heard anything else about it. You all remember this, right? Can you remember the story of these, the members on this scientific expedition to the Wuhan Institute of Virology? They were there to take in, it was like a diplomatic scientific thing with not just the US and China, but several other countries. And they were sending these cables back and they were classified, or not classified, they were secret, top secret. They sent these cables back. And they were saying, this is bad. Something's wrong here. This is bad. So, there's going to be an accident. I mean, they were warning them. And then lo and behold, I mean, they were really trying to shut all of that down. So keep that in mind. Audio soundbite 4, he's trying to defend the Chinese collaboration. This was Fauci yesterday. Listen.
You know, Caitlin, if you look at the history, going back decades of collaborations with Chinese scientists, we're not talking about Chinese officials. We're talking about Chinese scientists who've collaborated with the European Union, with the United States, with Canada, with Australia. A lot of very good, important science that has contributed to global health has come from collaborations with the Chinese. Now, obviously, because of the tension that's gone on right now, that's changed a bit, and I hope it gets back to normality where there can be mutual benefit of international collaboration among scientists the way it's been for decades.
Now, the Washington Post had this story on April 14th, 2020, along with Politico, etc. In July 17th, that's when the cables were actually published. And what they discovered is that this event, now the expedition, this little scientific expedition, which you had scientists and researchers and a couple of diplomats, this took place in 2018. So they were warned 2 years in advance. The 2018 cable that was released detailed these U.S. embassy, because there were some people, there were diplomats that went with them from the U.S. embassy. And they said that when they were touring this lab in Wuhan, that there were some serious protocol abridgments here. And they said there was an absence of adequately trained personnel. And the cables, there were three pages that were finally released in full. And they said that after SARS, China wanted to prioritize international cooperation for infectious disease control. But then they got into, like, for instance, some of it's redacted. They said that the utilization, they're talking about this one lab that was supposed to be fully accredited. And it's the BSL-4 lab that was, you know, supposed to be highly celebrated, etc. Limited by a lack of access to different organisms, opaque government review and approval processes. And they said that a lack of commitment to basically securing against infection in Beijing with these highly pathogenic viruses. They said it remains in doubt. They said that Redacted noted that the new lab has a serious shortage of, this is verbatim from this, has a serious shortage of appropriately trained technicians and investigators needed to safely operate this high containment laboratory. They said that they noted the University of Texas Medical Branch in Galveston, they also have a BSL-4 lab. This is like a level of this. They said that they have scientific collaborations with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. It said it may help alleviate the talent gap over time. But they said that they're trying to figure out, because the Wuhan Institute was advertised as being the gold standard. And they say in here, they basically say, how in the world this is the gold standard? We have no idea. That's what they say in this thing. So they said that that the scientists are undertaking this research, but they have limitations, etc. And they list, you know, a few examples, but they sent these cables. They were warning them of risky experiments done by staff that essentially were not, they did not have the skill set to be undertaking these experiments, nor did they have a security and containment protocol in place to even undertake these experiments. This is what came out in these cables in 2018. And nobody did anything. And that was Washington Post who first had it, then Politico, and then it went from there. So this is it's pretty wild that he says, oh, well, there's collaboration. What did we get from the collaboration? I mean, just think, just go along with it. And just let's just say, okay, fine. We had some, you know, we had no collaboration in containment. We had no collaboration in identification. When even we were looking at the genome sequencing of this virus, China was refusing to cooperate after. And not just with Taiwan. China was refusing to release anything that they had uncovered. Every other world government was sharing their information except for China. So I find Fauci's explanation that there's apparently a lot of science that contributed to global health that came from collaborations with the Chinese, I find that really hard to accept as anything other than a weak defense of his own actions and involvement, considering it was China's refusal to collaborate that made this pandemic more ridiculous, last longer, and probably cost a hell of a lot more lives. I want to go back for a moment with this. You want to talk about collaboration with the Chinese? One of my favorite things to examine is how this thing kicked off and where it kicked off the most. Let's flash back to 2020, back when you had Fashion Week in Milan, Italy. Buckle up. I'm going to bring this tugboat to shore. So several years before the pandemic in Italy, this is in Tuscany, you have, everybody knows where Florence is, right? You have the leather tanning, you know, the real politic was born in Florence. You know, I mean, politics as we know it was, you know, modern politics was born there. And then just a little bit to the northwest of Florence is a region called Prato. And that's where a lot of these manufacturing facilities, et cetera, are. For generations, you had a skilled Italian craftsman that would hand down the tools of their trade generation to generation. So you would have multiple generations of the same, you know, skilled trade family doing this. This is why, one of the reasons why Italian leather work was so valued and considered, you know, the best of the best, because there were so many generations that went into perfecting the techniques, etc. And so you had a lot of business people from China move in after Italy's economy suffered, because they had socialists in government. After their economy suffered, they had a lot of hiccups, businesses were going under, and you know, all the drama with the EU, you had a lot of Chinese businessmen coming in and scooping up these facilities, scooping up these manufacturing facilities, purchasing these historically, you know, generationally run manufacturing bases. And they did it so that they could sell luxury goods to the public, and it would be a Chinese owned and Chinese ran, but they could have the made in Italy label intimating that they were the same skilled Italian craftsmen, except they weren't. They got rid of all of them and they brought in illegal Chinese labor. It was a huge dramatic event that took place in Italy. There were protests in the streets with Italians protesting the presence of illegal Chinese immigrants that were flooding into the region and working in these newly acquired facilities. And the Chinese were calling the Italians racist. They shamed the Italians into silence. So the Italians stopped. They stopped protesting. Fast forward a couple of years when there were direct flights from Wuhan to the Tuscan area, from Wuhan to Florence. There were direct flights to this area every day. And this was the hotspot that busted out in Italy. And it went from this area to Milan Fashion Week, because you got people in Milan Fashion Week. They're going to check out these facilities. And one of the reasons that this story broke open is because a lot of luxury goods like Fendi and others, their quality dropped off because they went from having skilled Italian tradesmen do their leather work and their sewing, etc., to Chinese illegal immigrants that were doing a crappy job. And it was Vogue even had to, you know, submit itself to writing a little piece about it because it was a huge scandal in the fashion world. So anyway, to fast forward a couple of years and you have the virus that breaks out. And the governor of the region actually told the press that the reason why they didn't say anything from the beginning when they noticed people getting sick is they didn't want to be called racist again by the Chinese. That's how this happened. That's the big contributing factor. The second big contributing factor on why that broke out. Unbelievable, right? We got to move. Our partners over at ReadyWise Emergency Food. They just want to make sure that you are prepared no matter what. No matter what. And with ReadyWise, you're always going to have high-quality, nutritious meals at the ready to either feed yourself or you and your family. Whether it is, I don't know, storms, hiking adventure, maybe you want to go hiking or hunting, maybe you're on a hunting trip, and you want to be able to take something with you other than sandwiches. This is a great thing to take. Supply chain disruption, whatever it is. They have an emergency 1 month supply 2 bucket bundle, 36 patches of premium survival food, 2,000 plus calories, 50 plus grams of protein per day, all with high quality U.S. ingredients. Freeze dried, dehydrated, no refrigeration required, easy to prepare, just add water. And that's the thing. It's U.S. food, U.S. packed at their state of the art U.S. plant. So from start to finish, not only do you know where your food's coming from, but you're also supporting American jobs. Visit ReadyWise.com and use code Dana20 to save 20% on any regularly priced item. The time to prepare is now. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20. Save 20% off of any regularly priced item. That's ReadyWise.com, code Dana20.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
It all started from the national championship game, and I've been dealing with this for 2 years now. And understanding, like, yeah, negative things have probably been said about me, but honestly, I'll take that because look where women's basketball is. People are talking about women's basketball. You never would think that we'd be talking about women's basketball. People are pulling up to games. We got celebrities coming to games, sold out arenas, like, just because of one single game. And just looking at that, like, I'll take that role. I'll take the bad guy role, and I'll continue to take that on and be that for my teammates. And if I want to be that, and I know I'll go down in history, I'll look back in 20 years and be like, yeah, the reason why we watching women's basketball is not just because of one person. It's because of me, too, and I want y'all to realize that.
Yeah, well, let's look at the attendance at the WNBA games that did not have Caitlin Clark there. I'm not being a jerk, but let's just be real. I'm looking at a string of them. The highest one was 10,207. The lowest was like 3. I mean, on average, it was probably 6,000. The attendance at the WNBA games with Caitlin Clark on the court, 17,274, and last week in 17,401.
Numbers don't lie.
Yeah, numbers don't lie. That's it. You know, everybody, you should be figuring out. And I will say the one thing I like what you said, what Angel Reese said there. She's like, well, if I got to be the bad guy, because it's nice to have a good guy and a bad guy, right? But yeah, but also let's realize that it is actually because of Caitlin Clark. And it's not wrong to say something like that. Like, it wasn't wrong for Tiger Woods to completely, you know, revolutionize and modernize golf and make it mainstream and accessible to younger people. And a lot more. I mean, there's nothing wrong with acknowledging stuff like that. Don't got to be petty. And sadly, I do think race has a little bit of a factor into this. It shouldn't. You know, like, just like you would cheer for Tiger Woods, maybe, like, acknowledge Caitlin Clark. We got a second hour on the way. Stick with. It's our friends at Black Rifle Coffee. Everything else is garbage. Everything else just tastes like swill, and it's horrible, and it brings sadness to the earth. That's, I don't know how else to put it. You need to be drinking actual good coffee and save yourself money because you're drinking good coffee. Bad coffee gets wasted. Bad coffee doesn't get brewed. And with Black Rifle Coffee, you're getting a veteran-owned, veteran-run effort into the best roasted coffee beans you could ever possibly get your hands on. They get the best beans, and they roast them 5 days a week in Tennessee and Utah. And everything that they do, from like the roast to the bag art, everything pays homage to American culture and military history. Every bag roasted in the U.S. of A, you got ground, whole bean, K-cups, ready to drink, all that good stuff. You also have apparel, kettles, grinders, mugs, everything you need for the perfect cup of coffee. And they just have the best coffee that is out there. I've been for like a month, over a month now, into Tactus Squatch. But I'm starting to like slide into some other roasts. I'll let you know what my new favorites are as I do so. But their roaster, it's just the best coffee that you can get. It's never bitter. It's never over roasted. And it's always delicious. And you can join their coffee club and you choose whatever roast you want, however often you want it delivered. And it shows up with free shipping on your front porch. And it's going to be more affordable than the bougie coffee that you want to buy at the grocery store. I'm just saying, you get free shipping. You never run out of coffee with the coffee club. Try it for yourself at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today and get 20% off using code Dana. That's 20% off using code Dana at blackriflecoffee.com.
I'm down. Hey, it's Dad again. I'm down at Newport News, Virginia. It's about 4 o'clock. Just call and check. Just text me or something to let me know you're okay, okay? I love you.
Hmm.
It's Dad. I called to tell you I love you. I love you more than the whole world, pal. Can I get some help? I don't know what to do. I know you don't either. But I'm here no matter what you need. No matter what you need, I love you.
Oh my gosh. So I honestly think they're releasing this to try to make him look like he's a sympathetic figure. He's just that was Joe Biden leaving a voicemail on Hunter Biden's. It's on his laptop too, which I find weird. Who saves this? How is that saved? Is that just like his voicemail saved on that?
I don't think any of my voicemails are saved.
It's weird.
I'll have to see.
Yeah, it was done in 2018, like the exact time that he was high as a kite, buying guns and doing drugs. And he left that voicemail for Hunter Biden, and that came out from the laptop. And apparently the prosecution has that, but it hasn't been entered as evidence yet. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lash with you. Top of the second hour. We got the Hunter Biden trailer, got the Merrick Garland thing. You got the executive action that Joe Biden couldn't do on immigration. Now he can do. We'll talk about that here in a little bit coming up. We got a lot to hit. And then, I don't even want to know what's all on that laptop. I don't even.
We have a good idea.
Yeah, I just. There's no such thing as brain bleach. Now, Juan says, yeah, they sync messages and all that kind of stuff. So I get that. But you know what is weird, though, and what they don't sync are all the things that he recorded on his phone and then saved to his laptop.
Right.
So gross. So gross. Just.
How many people film themselves doing things like felonies?
He filmed himself arguing with a hooker.
Yeah.
And saved it.
And admitting to getting like robbed or something, or I don't know what the
heck. Like he was weighing out his drugs, arguing with a hooker. Like, look what I got. Who does that? That's so weird. Why is he? Anyway, welcome to the program. Dana Lash with you. Listen coast to coast. Terrestrially, you can also watch Channel 347, the simulcast of the radio program as well. So that's the thing on the voicemail telling Hunter Biden to get some help. Pretty amazing. Telling Hunter Biden that he needs to get some help. The fact that this is all still, again, that we're in court with all of this. And you got Dexter Taylor who's sitting there. Thomas Massie was talking about a little earlier. He was in a hearing where he was discussing how the Department of Veteran Affairs, they would weaponize anybody who was adjudicated as anything, whether it was mental. Or you remember back under Obama Biden when they were claiming that if you were a Social Security beneficiary and you had to have help with your finances, that was going to be counted as a disqualifying factor against you when it concerned your firearm ownership and your Second Amendment natural rights. And how everybody was, you know, rightfully, deservedly so, including myself, up in arms over that. Fast forward to now, and you got Hunter Biden that we're having to take great pains just to have the basic law formed and determined against him. Like, it's wild, the difference here. It's absolutely wild. The difference in the two-tiered standard of justice is, you know, ultimately it. So I don't know. We're going to see how this goes. The prosecution began their opening arguments today. They seated the jury yesterday. Lorraine has a really good deep dive over at the show Substack, Chapter and Verse, that gets into who the jurors are. And she noted, which I thought was a really good point, we knew everything about the Trump jurors even before everybody was seated. And we barely know. We only know the bare minimum about this jury.
Also,
yes, Kane.
In the Hunter's jury, there's like drug addicts and drug addicts in the family and people who are victims of guns, things of that nature. But in Trump's jury, there wasn't any business people who dealt with banks or real estate or even like campaign money or financing or any of the sort. They were literally just picked because they voted Democrat or essentially donated to Democrats at one point. It was really weird.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing.
And they keep saying jury of his peers. Whenever they say a convicted felon, convicted by a jury of his peers, and he wasn't.
That's it. Because looking into this, and I'm looking at the piece now, there were people that had history of drug use, people whose family had history of drug use. There were people who owned firearms, people who were who didn't own firearms. There's quite a bit. So it really ran. it seemed like it really ran the spectrum of, you know, every aspect of this case. Like, there's somebody who has something relatable in every bit of it. So that's, I kind of, it's very interesting. So we're gonna continue watching this in addition to watching, waiting for Biden to sign this. It's an amnesty issue, and we're gonna deep dive into that. Speaking of guns and firearms, can we play? Where's this at? Audio soundbite 9, please. So Claire McCaskill, the former senator out of Missouri, who was displaced during the election by voters by now Senator Josh Hawley, who was the former AG of Missouri. She was on MSNBC. Listen to what she says here, please.
And the irony here, I mean, let's step back for a minute and think about this. It's a gun charge. Now, understand that what the Republicans want to do is allow everyone to buy guns everywhere without ever having to tell the federal government anything.
Right.
They are so totally opposed to the idea that the federal government gets to know anything about them and their gun purchases. They don't believe in the law that he's being prosecuted under.
And? That's like supposed to be some gotcha? No, that's not what this is about. This has nothing to do with whether or not you believe in the law. We believe in the law in which he's being prosecuted under, Claire. It's that this is your law. And you believe in it. And we're making you be honest about it. That's what we're doing. There's a big difference here. This has nothing to do with us and our belief, disbelief, support, or opposition to this law. See, the thing is, Claire, is that this is your law that y'all wanted. It's your law that y'all wanted to increase penalties for. It's your law that y'all say is going to prevent violence and save lives. And now you have the president's son who is being charged with a crime due to violation of that law. The law that you say that you need, the law that you wanted, the law that you say you're going to abide by, and you insist that it's Republicans that have the issue with it. But really, the question, Claire, is that you have a problem with the law. I don't think that you believe the things that you're saying. I believe that you say that you want all these gun laws and that you want to do something about violence and crime, but yet you also believe that people should be accepted. There should be exceptions, exclusions from having to be equal under the law based on who you're born to. That's what it sounds like you're saying. So which is it? Do you think that some people are above the law because of their DNA? Do you think that some people are above the law? Is Hunter Biden above the law because he's a white 50-something-year-old son of Joe Biden? Is he more above the law than Dexter Taylor, who's not done drugs and who has a completely clean criminal record and actually was engaged in a federally protected hobby activity that's still federally protected, which is why this case is going to be litigated 6 ways to Sunday? But does she think that Dexter Taylor is less equal before the law because he's black and not the son of Joe Biden? I mean, that's the question ultimately, isn't it? No, this is about making Democrats own their policies. It's about making Democrats stand their ground, so to speak. It's about making Democrats be honest about what they believe in and what they really would like to do. You don't get to be like, no, not this time because it's Hunter Biden. No, we're going to make you own it. You wanted this law, and by God, you're going to hug every part of it. You're going to own every single part of it. You will feel the full force of the penalty when you break it, too. Because, as we like to say on the program, Dems de rules. Now, with that, we also have Dems de rules with immigration. And Joe Biden, ooh, wait, real quick before I go to there. Back up for a minute. Did you hear what happened outside of the courtroom? This was today, correct? Yes, it was today. Oh, boy. Did you hear what happened outside of the courtroom today? Did you hear? So Hunter Biden's wife now, she's a Instagram influencer. Right around, yeah. She approached a former Donald Trump White House aide named Garrett Ziegler and yelled at him that he was a Nazi piece of redacted who had no right watching the case. And she did this while she was walking into the courtroom with the first lady. Trash attracts trash, does it not? It reminds me of a scene from a show that my mother loved to watch, and I loved to watch it because I watched it with her, and I really ended up appreciating this very strong female character that was played by Dixie Carter. It's a show called, was called Designing Women. Interestingly enough, it was created, the Bloodworth Thomasons, who were apparently big Arkansas Clinton supporters, but I think they were moderate Democrats. Anyway, Julia Sugarbaker was the woman in question, and I'll never forget the one scene in which she met a woman who was trying to be Julia's rival and literally had not even an ounce of her flame, and Julia remarked to her in a wonderful fashion. She said, you know what, growing up as a girl in rural Georgia, I have seen, she's talking about fertilizer, I've seen it tilled far and wide across every field and plain, but until this very moment, I have not seen it tied up in so attractive and pretty a package. And she said, bravo. She goes, but it's still fertilizer. It's one of the best monologues. I thought of that when I was looking at Melissa Cohen, his Instagram influencer wife. I mean, you can take the girl out of mediocrity and you can put a brand new, barely broken in Chanel bag on her shoulder, and you can put in a wrinkled silk blouse on, you know, on her waist, and you can put in a lilac covered jacket that doesn't fit her very well, and some, you know, kind of like too high in the waist pants, and you can try to sit here and adopt all the labels and dress the part and do all this other stuff because your lifestyle is entirely funded by a 60-something-year-old sugar brother, which is embarrassing enough by itself, but it's still mediocrity. Fascinating stuff. I mean, can I just add one more thing about this? Clearly, she's with him because of access to power, power adjacency. Look at Hunter Biden, and she's not ugly. I mean, she looks plasticine, but some guys like that. But I guess, you know, you have to have an absence of self-awareness and self-respect to be with a man who can't even afford your tastes, can't afford your lifestyle, can't even afford his, which is why he has a 60-something-year-old Big Lebowski-looking guy who is his quote-unquote sugar brother and literally finances his entire life, subsidizes his entire life to the tune of millions. How is that attractive, knowing that the man that you married, who put a ring that's another man paid for on your finger, can't even actually provide for you? I find that he doesn't handle anything in this family. How disgusting is that? Doesn't it just make your ovaries like squeal in terror? Oh my gosh. Our partners that help bring you free radio, it's our friends over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And Patriot Mobile not only wants to save you money, but they want to make sure that they're having your money not work against you. And that's the thing with a lot of these big cell phone services, you have to realize that they all have political action committees that they give money to, and they support DEI and gun control and, you know, abortion on demand, taxpayer funded, all of that stuff. That's not what Patriot Mobile does. Patriot Mobile, first off, they're going to give you free activation when you use code Dana. I mean, so that's an additional bonus. But they also have the best, most reliable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the same great service. You're not funding the left. And you work with a 100% U.S.-based customer service team. So you're creating and maintaining U.S.-based jobs. They make it easy to switch. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch to my cell phone service today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I really don't want anybody doing this because I just don't care. Nobody cares about your private lives. Now an Idaho bar is celebrating Heterosexual Awesomeness Month in June. Oh, you knew it was going to happen. It's the Old State Saloon in the city of Eagle. They said every Monday in June is Hetero Male Monday. Any heterosexual male dressed like a heterosexual male, the bar said. It's kind of funny. They said that they even put out a call seeking a professional, that's their word, quote, judge, qualified to determine if men's chosen clothing is officially heterosexual. And then they offered a $15 per hour plus free beer as compensation to anyone who thinks you have what it takes to determine straight threads. Heterosexuals, couples get 15% off their bill. And then Thursday nights are heterosexual ladies' nights with her hetero happy hour.
I'm for it because this isn't anti-anything.
I think it's funny.
It's for
the her now because of the name and the tongue in cheek. I get it. It's funny. Her hetero happy hour is actually hysterical and should be on a t-shirt. So they said they had 2,000 comments, And people were like, oh, it's bigotry because someone, they're mad. How is it bigotry? You just decided to go and have your, you know, Midol, your Accutane Rage Midol fueled tantrum in the comments. Like, what the hell's the matter with you? Stop it. I think it's funny, right? We're going to talk more about this coming up. Can we stop trying to pet bison? Please? Because now an elderly woman was injured. She got gored by a bison defending its space at Yellowstone. Stop trying to pet it. Stop it. I mean, it's a giant beast. You know, they said that the bison was defending its space. Sadly, it lifted her about a foot off the ground with its horns. It's just so bad. You know, that was heinous. She was taken by helicopter. Didn't make it. But they said they'd tell people stay 75 feet away from the animals. These things are like 2,000 pounds. They're 6 feet tall. Stop it. Yeah, especially if you're 83. Quit trying to pet them. What is wrong? And Hawaii's Kilauea volcano erupted in a remote part of a national park. Low eruptive volume, they say. So just a little bit of the lava. Not a lot of the lava. Stick with us. Our partners over at Kel-Tec. It's a great Florida-based company that a lot of people try to rip off because they're just not as... they're just not as smart and they're not as innovative with their designs and they're just not as good at designing guns like Kel-Tec. I'm just going to say it. George Kellgren immigrated from Sweden, went to beautiful Florida and launched a boomstick company. And very innovative. They create pistols, rifles, shotguns, all kinds of stuff, gear, accessories, all the good, you know, all that. They got the new Gen 3 sub 2K. I have the Gen 2. Light, foldable, effective. You don't have to detach your optics. You just fold it in half and get up and go. It's nice. And it's an awesome 9mm carbine. They've done a couple of other upgrades in addition to not having to detach the optic. You've got lightened action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open. They also reconfigured some of the trigger, so it's a light and 5-pound pull, all for improved accuracy, translating to improved manipulation as well. Quality made right here in the U.S. of A. See everything Kel-Tec has to offer at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C, weapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. The Texas Rangers apparently are the only Major League Baseball team without a quote-unquote Pride Night. They've changed their website banner to run it back to Straight Up Texas. It's actually funny, but that's a saying. That's a saying that they've had for a long time. It's not new. And the I was reading this one Dallas sports writer who was saying it's really unfortunate. It feels antagonistic, super antagonistic. Good for the Rangers, though. Not everything has to celebrate how you have sex. Somebody got mad at me for saying that. They're like, you know, I was really getting tired of all the pride stuff. Then I saw your comment, and it was so ignorant. It's about so much more than sex, is it? Then what's it about? Do they sprout up another head that gives them like extra power? What? What is it about if it's not about how you get it on? Kane, any ideas?
Gosh, I don't any? Know. Fashion, maybe? I don't.
Do they turn into aliens?
Maybe fashion.
Does their skin go green like a Martian? Like, what's up?
They've turned into aliens already.
What is up? What's up, Denny's? What's up? For real. What? Someone's like, I just, how far we have to go? What do you mean how far we have to go? You're using baseball. People are getting mad at a baseball team because they're not affirming how someone chooses to have sex. And that's what it's about. What is it if it's not about sex?
And when did it actually, the moment, become so offensive? Like, yeah. And antagonistic, as they described it. When did that happen?
If you're not celebrating how I have sex, you're a bigot. What? Shut up. Touch grass. What's the matter with you? Get so hung up on everything. Who gets mad if they go into a Target and is like, I don't see rainbow things. Everything has to have a symbol on it affirming how I have sex. Stop. You're the freak. If you're at that point where you have to see, say it. I double dog dare you. No. I triple dog no. dare you.
No.
You can't say no to a triple dog dare.
Do it. Historically, that
you put it in Slack.
All right. I said touch grass, not ass.
Thank you. Thank you.
Groomer Awareness Month.
Groomer Awareness Month. I mean, it's that's what it's about, though. They're mad because they didn't have rainbow stuff on their uniform. They don't have rainbow stuff on their website. They don't have, blah, blah. They don't have a pride night. What does that even mean? Pride is not a virtue either, by the way. What does that even mean? It's just so over the top. It's so over the top. They had it's gone from, like, if you don't affirm it, then you're the enemy. They had, I'm pulling this up. Where was the, I saw the thing. Let me find this. It was the Navy.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am. I'm
telling you. They required it. Even the Navy SEALs, for some reason. The Defense Department mixed up Pride and PTSD month.
No.
I'm going to need to grab a table. What? They did.
Or did they?
Yeah. It said they marked the start of June with a Facebook post celebrating the beginning of Pride Month. It was the post on the official page of Naval Special Warfare Command. And it was also posted on the U.S. Navy SEALs pages. And it spelled out the words dignity, service, respect, equality, pride in rainbow-colored letters. And, oh my gosh, that's what they used. What does this have to do with going out and just doing your job as members of the military? People were infuriated because June 6th is D-Day. We're days away. The 80th anniversary of D-Day. And this is what you're doing? D-Day gets one day to remember. If you choose to have sex a certain way, you get a whole month. Do you see how ridiculous this is? No pun intended. And every SEAL I know was livid. And they had the Progress Pride flag and Celebrate Pride. They had like multiple posts about it, apparently. And in the meantime, you get like one thing said on, you know, June 6th, just in a couple of days for D-Day. That's it. That's all you get. It is so over the top. And then when they did PTSD, they said June is they had a separate thing, Department of Defense. They tweeted June is PTSD Awareness Month. And the DOD is committed to supporting service members and veterans affected by PTSD. If you or someone you know is struggling. And then they had a Celebrate Pride graphic on that they attached to it. So they couldn't even celebrate PTSD without trying to put, they had to put in a Pride thing. And everything that they did, they had to put in a Pride thing. Oh my gosh. Someone wrote, thanks for recognizing our strength is our differences. That's like the opposite of military. Wow. You stolen valor. What in the world? That's the absolute opposite. It's the unity. And I mean, it reminds me of that scene, Zack Snyder's 300, where the one guy is asking Leonidas, he's like, look, I want to serve. I want to be a part. And he's like, you can't raise your shield. He's like, no offense. You know, you can help this way, but you know, I can't have, and it's through no fault of your own. I have to have a completely uniform fighting force. This is the way it is. If the fighting isn't your main objective, you're not in the right place. And I would put that with us. No one cares what you want to do in your personal time. You make an idol of all of this stuff that has nothing to do with warfare. You make an idol out of all of these things that have nothing to do with eliminating enemies and saving lives. None of it. And when you do that, you're not prioritizing your team first. You're not prioritizing your mission first. You are stupidly prioritizing how you get it on first. That's dangerous and dumb. I just can't believe that they did it with PTSD. It's just stupid. This is what I never understood growing up. Because growing up, it was always, we were told that there was no difference and it needs to be treated the same as everything else. But then every action they have taken in terms of advocacy for same-sex anything has been the complete opposite of that. Every action that they have taken with advocacy has been all about separating it, elevating it above the law even, making it a protected class apart from everyone else, giving the demo special accommodations. They've done absolutely antithetical to everything that they said that was intended in the beginning. It wasn't about making it the same. It was about making it separate. And they continue to do that today to the point where it's so egregious, you almost have to stop and ask, are they doing it to make you dislike it? So that then they can claim that your dislike of it due to the oversaturation is because of your bigotry and not their oversaturation? You see what I'm saying? It's almost like a psyop. Purposely, they want to cause division and then claim that you're the problem. And to do this with military, especially when we're days away from June 6th, and they have multiple posts on this stuff. Think about it. How many posts do you usually see from these agencies about D-Day? You get one, right? Memorial Day, you get one. Veterans Day, you get one. Armed Services Day, you get one. That's it. That's the problem. They try to elevate it and act like it's separate and apart and above everything else. And that's an issue. That's a problem. They don't need to be doing it with the Navy SEALs, for the love. I wanted to show you this. Goodness. A couple of things here. This was from Sky News, because we're going to get into some of the Gaza stuff and all that later. They had the headline where IDF found four hostages in Gaza. They were killed. They're dead. It's sad. And I honestly think that most of the others are as well. So they had this story from Sky News, and it says Israeli man who went missing during Hamas attack found dead. Now just process this sentence for a moment from this tweet. Israeli man who went missing during Hamas attack found dead. Well, how did he go missing? It was during Hamas's terror attack. How did this Israeli man go missing? Oh, they kidnapped him. Hamas did. They kidnapped him and held him hostage, and he didn't survive being in their custody. But they gloss over it by saying, he just went missing. What? He just went missing. He just went missing. That's not what kidnapped is, though, right? That's something entirely different. But that's how they put it. I've seen other, and I'm actually looking at my collection of bookmarks. There's actually several other news agencies that did the exact same thing. Oh, these missing Israelis. Why were they missing? Kane, why were they missing? You remember?
Yeah, I remember there was a deliberate violation of a ceasefire by Hamas, and they entered in, parasailing in, to a concert of innocence. It's not like they attacked an actual military facility or anything like that. It wasn't anything like that. They took nothing but civilians hostage, killed a bunch, just wreaked havoc on a music festival as they breached the ceasefire.
When these people went, quote unquote, missing, it's like they make it sound like they got lost. They were kidnapped by Hamas.
Yeah.
This is Sky News, and it's not just Sky. There were a lot of, there's too many to get into. That's how many there were with all of this. We have Florida Man on the way, and now we're watching as the president is preparing this executive action on the border. Because remember, they were saying, well, a certain amount of illegal crossings a day is okay. But if it gets to this magic number, then we're going to have a problem. But he's acting as though he's never had the ability to do anything. And then now all of a sudden he's got the ability to do it. He's admitting that Trump was right with all of these orders with his policy on immigration. And the media is not saying a damn thing about it. They're not talking about how Joe Biden has done a total 180 on immigration policy. And is having to he's reauthorizing Trump's orders via executive order, the ones that he rolled back his first week in office. And the press is giving him a total pass for this. You do not hate the press enough.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So I am very intrigued by a Florida Man story, the video of which I absolutely cannot play because every other word is something. But it was at two words for you, and you're going to get the nature of it. A Waffle House. Waffle House. So I was watching this guy. He says, and again, Waffle House workers, again, they said that somebody started a fight because their food was taking too long at a Waffle House in Orlando. And apparently someone threw their wig and somebody else got hit in the head with a plate, and there were wounds, and literally one of the employees took off her hair to get into the fight. So when you snatch your own wig, is that like doubly bad? That seems, you know. So, and people were taking off shoes and all kinds of stuff, but it was Orlando, Florida. And that's what ended up happening. Somebody had a fight because we literally cannot play any of the audio.
You know what I took from that?
If you saw the video, like how easily and thoroughly those Waffle House plates break.
Right?
Like that
like,
was.
Like what are they made of?
It was like movie type stuff.
They don't break like that in real life. Like right. if you ever dropped a plate, like a piece of it, it'll chip off. Like this, like they shatter. I don't even know what's happening. Oh my gosh. All right. So. Couple of other ones. There's also, let's see here, this Florida man, WFLX channel 29. I feel like I need a better description of this because the CCTV doesn't show a lot. An extremely amped up man who is only wearing a lady's top. What do you mean? I mean literally it says, quote, in the charging documents, only a lady's top.
Well, it is Pride Month.
He drove intentionally into the lobby of Martin County Jail, and then he threatened to light himself on fire. Yeah. This was last night. Martin County Sheriff's Office said that Joseph Leedy, 40, is now behind bars. He's facing multiple counts of aggravated assault on a law enforcement officer. They said he, at the news conference, they're so classy, they said he was, quote, disrobed, other than wearing a lady's top. He crashed through the glass lobby doors. Oh, wait, you ready? Because it gets crazier. So he drove his car, as if that's not crazy enough, into the glass lobby doors, right? And then he threw a bunch of rubber snakes in there.
What?
See that one coming? But he did. He threw rubber snakes in there and multiple cell phones. What? And then he started pouring motor oil on his car, and that's when he threatened to light himself and the car on fire. So just to back it up, a guy wearing just a woman's top drives his car into the glass doors of a jail, right? So you got woman's top, drives the car into the jail, throws rubber snakes into the lobby and some cell phones, and then pours motor oil on his car and threatens to light himself on fire.
I feel like this is God delivering him right to jail. Like, this was just God doing his thing.
I'm just trying to figure out where the rubber snakes, how does that come into play? Like, it's just pure chaos. He comes in and flings them like confetti. It's just pure chaos. So they said that the paramedics gave him, quote, multiple doses of ketamine to calm him down, but it did not sedate him. Yeah. Is that bad? I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Okay. So they said that he kept saying things. The devil told me to kill everyone. Oh, and by the way, he also hated Trump and he was railing against Trump. Oh. I'm not that literally that is from Budenizik. Budenizik.
Safe to say he's not a right-wing extremist.
Yeah, he's not a right-wing extremist. And so that's, he's never been arrested before, but he has received some trespass warnings in the past. They think he was under the influence of a controlled substance, but they're waiting for toxicology to come back on that. So nobody was in the lobby at the time of the crash. No rubber snake was injured.
It's Pride Month, and he's liberal, so it could go either way. Could
yeah, I mean, I don't know. And then a Florida suspect is accused of forcing a man to drive him to the hospital at gunpoint after a crash. Palm Beach County. This trooper found a man and a woman sitting in a concrete barrier. They were in distress. He was holding his shoulder. I'll finish the story tomorrow because after the police arrived, that's when the fun started, if you want to call it that. Stick with us. Third hour on the way.
I know you don't want to see Donald Trump retake the White House. I know you don't want a nationwide ban on abortion. I know you don't want major cuts to Social Security and Medicare. In this election, we each face a question. What kind of country do we want to live in? A country of chaos, fear, and hate, or a country of compassion, freedom, and rule of law? Joe and I are doing everything we can to protect our freedoms and keep Donald Trump away from the White House. And we need your help to finish the job. Please chip in today to help power our campaign.
I mean, isn't that everything that they're doing? That's Kamala Harris, the VP. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you, the top of this third hour. And I'm looking at the monitor because we're watching and waiting for the potatoes to step out and POTUS to step out about the border, the immigration executive orders that he's going to have. What's that going to be like? It's a million-dollar question. Million-dollar question. So I don't know. Nothing's changed from the time that he said there's nothing that he can do until now. Literally nothing has changed. No one's passed a law to change anything that allowed him to do anything. And they've never, there's just nothing that's different. I'm just trying to figure out why. Oh, you know what it is. It's the polling. I'm looking at some of it. It is the poll. It's the polling. It is a lot of Democrat discontentment with what's been happening at the border. It's a lot of that. And so I mean, ultimately, that's why he's doing this. He's announcing these executive orders that's going to do nothing except reinstitute what he undid when Trump was in office. That's the fascinating thing about all of this. I mean, it's literally everything that he did when Trump was in office. And he, the first week that Biden was, after he was elected, he, this is like the first thing that he did. So he's expected to, I guess, make some remarks about this. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're scheduled to talk with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, because he was in court yesterday with regards to the Biden administration. And he's going to talk a little bit about this as well. And it's fascinating to see him do this after even some moderate Democrats were like, something's got to get done. Something's got to get done. And yeah. And then now he's going to do something that he said he couldn't do. That's what I mean. I'm trying to get here. But it's that cap, you know, I mean. It's all right if you get like 1,000 people coming across. There's like 1,001. What is it set at? Like 2,500 daily?
Yeah.
That's daily.
I was talking to Juan earlier about how silly that is. I mean, just think about it. When you're talking about this idea to someone else, and you're like, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to let 2,500 people in. But then as soon as we get 2,500, shutting those doors until tomorrow. Yeah. Then we'll open the doors up again. We'll mm-hmm. bring in another 2,500. Then we'll shut the doors. Mm-hmm. Won't let anybody else come in. Until tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And then tomorrow we're going to open up again, 2,500, and then we're going to close.
Well, it's actually higher than that. It's 4,000.
Oh, yeah. Day. It's definitely more than that.
4,000 per
day. That doesn't count the ones that are actually gotaways.
Yeah. So, exactly. If it gets 4,000 per day, then they got to shut it down. And then they also give, but it really doesn't do, I don't think it does a lot, because you give the Homeland Security Secretary totally discretion. Secretary of DHS has full discretionary authority to carry out removals or deportations, anything like that. It was supposed to make, the original proposal was going to have made deportations mandatory, and that would have been triggered if it got to 5,000 per day over a 1 week period. You see how arbitrary this is? So in 1 week, if it was 5,000 for 5 days in a row, okay, so stop. Let me explain this to me. This is where I get confused. So if they shut it down, if it reaches 4,000 per day, how in the hell is it, are you allowed to get 5,000 per day over a week period? Because the proposal, it was supposed to make deportations mandatory if it got to that point. And then now they have got the DHS secretary who has the authority, it says, at their discretion to carry out any kind of removals, deportations, etc. You see how weird? Why does it have to get that stupid? You know, just stop. So they, that's it. They're going to limit entries. And then he's expected to speak about this here at any point. They're just, they got the podium up and ready. And they're waiting for it. The order, the provision that they're trying to say matched in the bipartisan border bill, which wasn't bipartisan, that didn't pass the Senate in February. He was going to be able to deport people if it reached the same daily average, but they've done so much to take the fangs out of this thing. I mean, it's just kind of pointless at this level. So we'll see. They said the order is going to be effective. It turns people away when there's high volume. So it goes into effect when the seven-day average exceeds 2,500 between ports of entry. And the New York Post was saying that it has to be up to 4,000 per day total. So there it is. I don't know. I don't think this is going to do a damn thing. How does this change anything? It doesn't. Securing the border, you can still have this many people come through. Securing the border, yeah, that many people can still come through still. So he's going to announce those, and we'll cover that all for you. But the nothing in there. There's not going to be anything about border wall, increase in boots on the ground. There's not going to be any of that in there. And this is just to give him the appearance of having done something so he can say to Democrat voters that he did something and try to show them, look, I did this. I acted on this. I did what you wanted me to do. Look what I'm limiting. But they're really cagey about how much they're actually limiting. So it's not going to. All of this time. But wait, I thought you couldn't do anything. Do you think that he's going to get that question and answer it? I really need Peter Ducey to ask Karine Jean-Pierre, but I thought the president couldn't do anything. So why is he doing something now? I didn't think that he could do anything. How is she going to answer that? And why is the press letting this just pass? You have the president of the United States. He's trying to grab for the optic of reinstituting Trump's immigration policies. And the press is letting him walk for it. They are giving him so much coverage. It's insane. Anyone else, can you imagine if Trump would have in his first week in office undone some of Barack Obama's policies and then during an election season reinstituted them, or at least optically? Do you know how insane the press would have been over that? You know. So this is where we're looking at. And they said that we'll see. He's gonna speak, and we'll try to carry some of it. I am very, very curious how this is gonna work out. Now, one of the other couple other things I want to make sure that we're getting into here. Pull this up. So we were talking about a lot of the Pride Everything stuff. I wanted to switch gears and look at Gaza. We're talking about some of the headlines of this. So the Prime Minister of Israel, Netanyahu, said that the way that the U.S. press is, the way that the administration has been putting this is that there's a ceasefire offer on the table. And apparently Hamas hasn't responded to it, but that's not what any of the press is, you know, paying attention to. He made a statement that, you know, there's a ceasefire proposal that's on the table, but Israel's disputing this. And they're saying that there's only a partial version that's ever been released from it. And there's still caveats to this that make it unacceptable. They said Israel has not changed their conditions to reach a permanent ceasefire. That only happens after their objectives are met, and their objectives include, which I'm totally fine with, destroying Hamas's military and governing capabilities. Otherwise, we're going to be in this position again in another couple months. It's just going to keep happening because it keeps happening with Hamas. And they've added that it was a proposal that was only partially released, that was put forward by mediators, and Hamas hasn't responded to it at all, apparently. At least that was the latest word this morning. So I don't know why the attention's only on Israel to accept things, especially if there's certain non-negotiable requests. I would think, you know, releasing the hostages is maybe a non-negotiable request. Stopping them from bombing, or if Hamas sends over rockets, that's viewed as a violation of a ceasefire, and not just if Israel responds to Hamas violating the ceasefire. You know the Maldives Islands? It's where a lot of rich British tourists go. It's an island nation. It's under Sharia law. It's an island nation off the coast of India and Sri Lanka. And they're beautiful islands. It's almost 100% Muslim. And their cabinet made a decision today that they've banned all Israelis from visiting. They're not allowed to come to the islands anymore. It's an island nation. There's tons of islands in it. No Israeli passports allowed. Their president signed that into law. That decision was signed on Sunday, and it was announced by the Minister of Homeland Security and Technology. And the leader of the Maldives appointed a special envoy to the needs of quote-unquote Palestinians. And they've set up a fundraising campaign to work with them in the United Nations. Wait, is that... what did the college protesters say? Weren't they saying that Israel was apartheid? Mm-hmm. Would this not be apartheid?
Right.
Interesting. I've never wanted to go there, although it looks very pretty. You can go to, it's not as far away as Bora Bora and definitely not as far away as the Caribbean. It's Sharia operated. And I actually was kind of surprised that this was only just done recently. I thought they would have done this a long time ago, but they've banned all Israelis from going there. I'm wondering how many, because you got a lot of celebrities that go there. A lot, because they're all super like 5-star luxury resorts that are on these islands. I'm just very curious as to whether or not they're going to keep going there, knowing now that the president of that country has made this order. You got a lot of U.S. celebrities that go there, a lot of British celebrities that go there. You remember the number of people in Hollywood that Kane, was it Georgia? What state was it with abortion? And everyone was saying they weren't going to go there to film movies. I think it was in Georgia. They were saying they weren't going to go there to film movies because even though Georgia didn't actually ban abortion, that was the narrative, and they changed their abortion law. And then the voting, remember when they weren't happy with voting? And this is what actually, I thought that, yeah, and Steve noted, Major League Baseball moved their All-Star game to Denver. So they had issues with abortion with Georgia, and then they had issues with Georgia's voting law that I actually thought they made easier to cheat. I have like a million things running through my head to explain this. I know we got to move, but bear with me real quick. That's when Georgia changed their law, when they were allowing, drive up, dropping in your ballots and doing all this stuff from the pandemic. And they actually changed their law to lengthen the early voting time. I didn't think they needed to do any of that. And people didn't think it went far enough. And so they were protesting. Those people who got mad at Georgia, you have an entire island nation that a lot of these rich Democrats go to that have banned Israelis from even going there. Do you think they're going to go there still? Are they going to rage at the Maldives? All the rich people that go there for their vacations, all the big Hollywood people, the Cloonies go there, all of those. But you think they're going to rage against them? You think? Nope.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
I want to roll real quick into Biden's press conference. It's live now, in progress. And we got Missouri AG Andrew Bailey is going to be coming up. Let's listen in.
Truly secure the border, we have to change our laws, and Congress needs to provide the necessary funding to hire 1,500 more border security agents, 100 more immigration judges to help tackle the backlog of cases, more than 2 million of them, 4,300 more asylum officers to make decisions in less than 6 months instead of 6 years, which is what it takes now, and around 100 more high-tech detection machines to significantly increase the ability to screen and stop fentanyl being smuggled into the United States. These investments were one of the primary reasons that the Border Patrol Union endorsed the bipartisan deal in the first place. And these investments are essential, remain essential. As far as I'm concerned, if you're not willing to spend the money to hire more Border Patrol agents, more asylum officers, more judges, more high-tech machinery, you're just not serious about protecting our border. It's as simple as that. I believe that immigration has always been the lifeblood of America. We're constantly renewed by an infusion of people and new talent. The Statue of Liberty is not some relic of American history. It stands for who we are as the United States. So I will never demonize immigrants. I'll never refer to immigrants as poisoning the blood of a country. And further, I'll never separate children from their families at the border. I will not ban people from this country because of their religious beliefs. I will not use the U.S. military to go in a neighborhood.
Okay, so we're going to interrupt this. First off, he did that. That was his policy when he was vice president of the United States. We're going to address all of this. Those are the hits. That's basically the gist of it. We're going to cover some of this coming up here after this break. We also have Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, who is going to respond to this right out of the gate. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store. Dana Show back after this.
Craving a daily dose of intellectual adrenaline? Look no further than the Dana Show podcast, where curiosity meets courage by following on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'll never separate children from their families at the border. I will not ban people from this country because of their religious beliefs.
So that was just one excerpt from the president's remarks on his border executive orders that he's... It's bizarre how he's essentially reinstituting everything that he did, almost everything that he did, as part of his 94 executive orders, his first 100 days. And then you saw all these people flood in through the border. He's kind of doing a 180, and the press is letting him walk for it. But that line right there, that was the line that made me the angriest. And, you know, thank the Lord for the mute button. It's like the hand of the Holy Spirit over my mouth, because I was immediately full of comments on that. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lashier with you, joining me right now. And I wanted him on originally for another topic, but now I got to ask him about this, because he's been like the tip of the spear on every issue. I joke all the time that Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey gets up and he does that rowdy Roddy Piper thing. I'm here to kick butt and chew gum, and I'm all out of gum. And he's joining us now via Skype, and I got to get his reaction to this executive order and these remarks from the president. General, good to see you. What is your initial takeaway from this?
What a joke. I mean, this is a crisis of President Biden's own making. Immigration law is largely unchanged in the past 40 years. President Trump used the laws that were on the books to reduce illegal border crossings by more than 90%, to start building a physical barrier to protect our national sovereignty at our southern border, to make streets more safe, Missouri streets more safe. President Biden undid all of that, despite the fact that President Biden voted for the Secure Fence Act as a United States Senator in 2006. Mm-hmm. He signed an executive order saying he wouldn't build any more border walls, even though in fiscal year 2020, Congress in the appropriations bill had commanded him to erect new border barrier systems. We filed suit. We won that lawsuit, forcing him to build President Trump's border wall to start secure doing his job at the southern border. We're the first state in the nation to successfully win a lawsuit against the Biden administration on these border issues. We have two other lawsuits bidding to end the catch and release program and stop the abuse of the parole process. Only Congress through statute can tell us who gets a visa and who doesn't. Yeah. They create visa programs that are codified into law. President Biden has perverted the parole process to essentially convert it into a visa program never authorized by Congress. We have a lawsuit pending on that. And so now, after the water's all out and the flood has happened, he's going to close the dam. Close the gates of the dam after the flood's already done all the damage. 1,100 incidences of human trafficking in Missouri in 1 year. 1,500 deaths from fentanyl. That blood is on his hand.
And that's a great point as well with the trafficking. We're talking to Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, because he says in it that he mentions, you know, in that cut that we just played, separating the kids at the border, and that there was an exploitation of the Flores Agreement, which had groups of adults that were like playing rent-a-kid. They were bringing kids in so that they could get fast-tracked through the system. Bill Malugin noted that they're still all exempt from this order. So it's kind of still, it's sort of like Flores in effect still. But that was done to stop the trafficking, because as you just said, and there were, I think it was an IG report also that confirmed this, there were incidents of child trafficking, like a lot, too much for anybody. That one's more than anyone wants. But child trafficking as a result of that rent-a-kid that popped up because they were getting fast-tracked through the system. And he's acting like checking to make sure that kids are with the people that they're supposed to be with was a bad thing. This is going to make this worse.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Look, this is a spit in the ocean. He's caused this problem, and now he's taking half measures to try to fix it. And at the end of the day, President Biden is a co-conspirator with those instances of human trafficking because of his perversion and conversion of the law and breaking of the plain text of the law. He's in violation of the plain text of the law. He doesn't get to write the laws. Congress does that. Mm. And his refusal to follow the laws is causing this problem. The numbers I provided, the 1,500 fentanyl deaths, 1,100 cases of human trafficking, bear in mind, those are just in Missouri. That's not nationwide. Magnify that by 50. But again, this is all President Biden's fault. The tools were there, the necessary tools were present. in order to protect our national sovereignty. If we don't have a southern border, we don't have a country.
Yeah.
And instead of doing that, he's ignored it.
But General, he says that he's, and I'm looking at my notes, they're going to invest in 100 high-tech machines to help check, you know, to stop the flow of fentanyl. That's going to do it, isn't it?
Look, this is, again, this is a joke. You know, it is shameful. I know what a secure border looks like. In 2005, as an armored cavalry scout platoon leader, I participated in border screening operations to secure the border between Iraq and Syria. And it is a sad day in American history when I can tell you firsthand that the border between Iraq and Syria in 2005 was safer and more secure than the southern border of the United States in 2024. And again, that is President Biden's fault.
We're talking with Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. Yeah, this isn't closing the border. It's just maybe kind of enforcing how many people can come across in one day. So I don't think we're going to see a reduction in that deluge. I wanted to a couple of because there's so many things that you're involved in. I want to quickly look at the verdict in New York, because one of the things that we were discussing last week on the program after this verdict came in was Republican AGs like yourself. And you're one of a very few. I think you've been in the tip of the spear of a lot of this. That's really, I think the spotlight is on what you do and your role in state by state more so than ever now, especially with this erosion of the rule of law as a result of this insane verdict. I mean, you got an expired misdemeanor that you're trying to tie to a non-existent, non-articulated felony to elevate it to a federal court. It's weird. What can you do in your role as AG, a Republican AG, you're really going to have to become the fighter for the people, because we don't have that at that level, and we certainly don't have it in D.C.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, this is about using the weapons in our arsenal to fight back. This level of lawfare against President Trump is absolutely being coordinated as a strategic campaign from the Biden administration. Make no about that. What Merrick Garland today, in testimony in front of Congress on the weaponization of government, refused to answer questions as to whether or not he was in coordination with the state level prosecutions in New York and Georgia of President Trump, we can draw a negative inference from his silence. His silence is a tacit admission that they are absolutely colluding with these illicit witch hunt prosecutions. That's why my office launched an investigation into the relationship between Biden's crooked Department of Justice, Alvin Bragg, Fani Willis, and these illicit witch hunt prosecutions. We know, based on information in the public domain, that Matthew Colangelo, the former third-ranking official in Biden's crooked Department of Justice, was deployed to fight against President Trump in Alvin Bragg's office.
And he took a demotion.
Took less money to go attack his former boss's political rival. And so the objective here was never to obtain a legally valid conviction. It was always to remove President Trump from the campaign trail and deny Missourians and other voters access to their preferred presidential candidate. It's also dropping a poison pill in a well that we'll be drawing water from for the next 24 months. When President Trump wins a second term, this will haunt, the appeal will haunt his administration for the first 18 to 24 months of his second term, just as the Russia hoax collusion haunted the first few years of his first term. And so, again, it was never to obtain a legally valid conviction. It was always to harass a political opponent. That is shameful, and that's why we're fighting back with our investigation.
Will this lead you, General, to maybe increase your examinations of any impropriety that Democrats may look like they're committing in your state?
Absolutely. It has gone on for far too long. The Republicans and conservatives have taken it on the chin while the left bends and breaks the rules and ignores criminal behavior like Hillary Clinton, like Joe Biden's possession of secret documents, and persecutes and prosecutes President Trump. Why? Because he put America first. But you know what? It actually helps President Trump. He's gaining ground in the polls and growing the party in ways never imaginable before. And why is that happening? Because people still love this country and they don't like what they're seeing. We're a nation founded upon law. The Constitution is our national identity. And when they see people in positions of power like President Biden, Matthew Colangelo, and Alvin Bragg breaking the rules and depriving President Trump of his due process and civil liberties and civil rights, that offends our sense of national identity.
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing it kind of play out right now. You got Hunter Biden, who started, I mean, he's in court today. The prosecution had their opening statement. They seated the jury yesterday. The first lady showed up in court the last 2 days to support him. I mean, this is a case they thought he, I guess, was just supposed to bypass, you know, federal law as it relates to gun purchases. And it's not. Because I know Claire McCaskill, who I know you know very well, Claire McCaskill was saying that, oh, Republicans, they don't like these laws. How could they be arguing against them? But this isn't us arguing against. This is us trying to keep Democrats honest about the laws that they claim that they want and that they support, but yet they think Hunter Biden should get a pass on, General.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. Look, it is a sorry state of affairs. We used to agree, both political parties agreed, that the rules matter. And we elevated the rules of the game above the players and the outcome. And, the left has clearly jettisoned that approach. And so, yeah, look, enforce the laws that are on the books. There's a lot on the laws on the books in Missouri that I don't necessarily agree with, but that's not my decision to make. Just like the Soros-backed prosecutor in the city of St. Louis who's refusing to charge criminals with criminal offenses. She didn't have that authority. It was not within Kim Gardner's authority to nullify law after the fact. She was charged with enforcing the laws on the books. You want to change the laws, go run for the General Assembly, run for Congress at the federal level.
Exactly. And this is one of the things that you're challenging Joe Biden on. You were in court arguing against that unlawful $500 billion, I don't want to say student loan debt cancellation. It's debt sharing. It's making everyone else co-signers on these loans. And I know that the ruling is expected in the next few weeks. You had a great thread about this, explaining this to everyone. I don't want to say get out your crystal ball and tell me where you think this is going to go. I feel like, just from everything that I've seen, that this is going to be in your favor.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, the Supreme Court's already ruled on this issue, right? We got the decision. I was at the council table representing the state of Missouri in February of 2023, and we got the decision in June of 2023 that struck down the first attempt of President Biden to unconstitutionally, illegally saddle working Missouri families with Ivy League debt. Mm-hmm. And the reasoning from that decision is going to apply here. At the end of the day, there's no explicit congressional authority in statute to redistribute more than $500 billion in debt. And again, that hurts Missouri taxpayers to the tune of north of $40 million. So Missouri absolutely has standing. We're going to win this lawsuit in the long run. But make no mistake about it. This is not about a valid debt cancellation program. First of all, any working family or small business owner will tell you there's no such thing as debt cancellation. Someone's paying it off. Yeah. But it's really the flip side of the lawfare coin. President Biden wants to weaponize government to attack his political opponent, President Trump, and he does that through censorship, he does that through lawfare, he does that through any means available to him, but simultaneously, he's going to weaponize government to be able to try to buy votes. That's what the student loan debt cancellation program is all about. He's losing ground in polling amongst the key demographics, so he wants to buy them off by promising them free money, and it's your and my money, it's taxpayer money.
Yeah, they should have not consolidated everything at the federal level if they wanted to make college a little bit more affordable, which is what he did when he was senator. He supported all of that. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, always appreciate your fight. Anytime you want to come on, we always love having you. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Dana. All the best to you and your viewers.
Thank you. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this third hour of our program. And of course, we got that. We got this executive order. We're going to see how the reactions to that, the defense of that, and the reality of it, because you're not slowing up or stopping the number of entrants, illegal entrants per day.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, welcome back. Dana Lash with you. Kane found this weirdo, I guess it was right when he was leaving the press conference about the immigration executive order. And it's like a robot running out of batteries. That's honestly the only way that I can describe this. It is so weird. And there's one part, Kane, the weirdest part, when he stops as he's leaving and he's got the teleprompter over his face, right? And he's just going, it's weird. It's weird. We're going to play it for you, but because it's so weird.
You remember when he did that when the reporter asked him about Trump saying that, hey, he's a political prisoner. What do you say to that? And he turns around and he just smiles like a creep.
Yeah,
it was kind of like that. Here's Juan has it right here. Listen.
Thank you very much.
He looks different when he's not squinting, right? He's like, okay, here we go. Gonna shuffle off. Did he hiss?
Prime Minister Netanyahu playing politics with the war.
I don't think so. He's trying to work out a serious problem. Thank you. Yeah.
Like, good job. Good job, Joe.
That's the leader of the free world.
Looks like a it's weird. That was weird, right? When he stopped and turned his head, I swear he hissed. Didn't he? It sounded like it.
Yeah.
It was weird.
He could have let one go, though. I mean, he's gassy these days.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay. Yeah, so that's the president of the United States, everybody. Who knew that, yeah.
Much confidence.
Yeah. I wanted to share this story with you. If you're in California, more sadness. The Rubio's Coastal Grill, they're called the Taco King, shuttering 48 restaurants in the state because California bumped up their $20 an hour minimum wage and they can't afford to stay in business anymore. So they're closing. Family owned, Hispanic owned, because, you know, they're racist, I guess, in California. It destroyed a...
It is. That's totally racist, but it's also, it's killing yourself as a state.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you don't have 48 sources of income from taxes for the state now, because they, you implemented that.
Ralph Rubio apparently created the fish taco. So they call him the Taco King. Yeah. It started in San Diego, and they were in four other states. 200 restaurants, closed 48 now in California. $20 minimum wage, man. $20 an hour. You know, maybe instead of demanding that businesses, but you got to pay the rate of live, you know, the cost of living. All right, ask the people that you vote for, you morons, about the cost of living.
Yeah.
It's not the business owner's responsibility to make up for the mistakes that the politicians make that you vote for. You are the voter. You vote for that. Those people that voted for that, this is the consequence of what you voted for. All right, today in Stupidity came.
And that segues beautifully into this audio we have here, because clearly Biden was the arsonist and now trying to be the firefighter. Listen to what he says here.
My very first day as president,
yeah.
I introduced a comprehensive immigration reform plan.
Killed a ton of executive orders.
To fix our broken system, secure our border, provide pathways for citizens, for dreamers, and a lot more.
Okay.
I'm still fighting to get that
you're
done.
You're not fighting anything. It's an election year, so
it's
you're pandering.
Year. Yeah, you're pandering. You
that's
need votes.
All you're
that's
doing.
What this is all about.
Three and a half years. We're supposed to believe you had 3.5 years to do this, and now all of a sudden you're doing it.
That's what it's all about. All right, folks, that does it for us today. Make sure you sign up at Substack, Chapter and Verse, all kinds of good stuff that comes up at Chapter and Verse, and of course, find us on Facebook, YouTube, like and subscribe. I hope you have a great night. Back behind the mic with you tomorrow.